Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Show number 103. Brad, how you doing? Back from the long week up at Lake of the Woods?
Well, it didn't seem like a very long week. It flew by way too fast, but I am indeed back. Had a great time. Was up there from the Sunday before President's Day until Thursday night. Put some miles on the snowmobiles, caught some fish, and got together with some friends I only see once or twice a year. So it was a great time, but like I say, just way, way too fast.
Well, I have to admit that it feels a little more like home sitting on this side of the microphone than where I sat last week. And you may or may not have heard that show where I was the interviewed instead of the interviewee or interviewer on that show.
Well, absolutely. We had a guest host last week in the form of John Falk, back from Iraq, and been fishing like a madman, I guess, now that he's back in the North Country. And I'm glad he was able to step in and aptly fill those shoes last week.
Well, it was kind of fun. You know, he sends an email to me about every day, and it's always kind of funny to read. And, you know, he's been on the show I don't know how many times, maybe three as a guest, so... Since you weren't around for the second week, just as luck had it, we figured, you know, what the heck, let's put the shoe on the other foot this week.
Like you say, it is kind of a different role, isn't it, having somebody else do that? I haven't had a chance to listen to the show yet, but were you able to hold up your end of the deal okay?
Oh, I think I've heard you sit in that chair enough times that I held my own. I told a funny story maybe or two, and I guess, you know, I have the tendency to jump in and kind of lead things, but then again, 101 shows, you probably would pick up that tendency. But it was a lot of fun, and I think we should look into doing that again sometime.
No complaints from me at all on that one. Meantime, I guess I'll jump in and lead a little bit. What have you been up to since I talked to you last?
Well, let's see. Since you talked to me last, little pike fishing. I had every intention of doing some walleye fishing on Devil's Lake this past weekend, but due to the weather situation with the snow coming in and the wind out of the east and visibility, and we had a little rain Saturday morning, I just thought it best that I bag it early at the end of the tip-up day and just head home rather than head out for the evening walleye bite, which I don't know if it was a good idea or not, but at the time it just seemed like the better option rather than drive more on the icy roads and get out there all alone on the ice in what could have blown up to be something major and ended up being kind of a non-event.
Well, and the other thing, though, is, I mean, that lake seems probably more than most others that I have fished regularly. It seems to be affected more by weather systems and weather fronts. So, you know, chances are you caught just as many fish at home in your living room nice and warm. There's only one way to get out there and find out. But, I mean, you've pounded the water out there enough over the years, too, to know what happens in the weather.
Well, in my experience, when the weather turns drastically like that, where you're getting a snow and an east wind that just basically is a 180 from the day before, is typically everything shuts down in the winter. I'm not going to classify that as the summer because you're a little more mobile and you can find them, and I'm sure that's the same in the winter if you're on a pattern of some sort. But when I got up that morning and looked at the weather, I predicted that even the pike were not going to bite quite right, and I did fish some new water with our good friend Lynn Schlater that on Saturday, but one thing I did notice is the pike weren't slamming it and running, and they were typically smaller pike than we're used to out there. May have been location, but they sure bit like a weather pattern.
Huh, it's interesting. You know, typically that kind of weather where you have the snow and maybe a little wind on top of it, I have found over the years that's my toughest bite when it comes to ice fishing. But I talked to a woman this morning who had fished Lake of the Woods. She and her husband had gone out to Lake of the Woods on Saturday afternoon, and they actually live in the town of Williams, Minnesota, and that area was getting pounded pretty good by snow that day. They went out in the snowstorm out in Lake of the Woods and ended up, I think they were two fish short of their limit on walleyes and saugers, so that's a, you know, combined limit of eight. So they had 14 fish they caught in just a few hours, and, you know, considering the weather out there, that was really quite impressive, I thought.
I saw some fairly decent crappie catches, too, from the... north of Minneapolis, a few people who ventured out. So the fish were biting for those who ventured out. But, you know, another thing that didn't dawn on me until we were out there is in the pursuit of saving gas money, we took the wife's Ford Escape, and with a little blowing snow and some drifting on the lake, I just didn't think being out there alone after dark with that was probably a wise decision either.
No, absolutely not. There's no point in taking any chances. I mean, there's lots of time to fish yet, and lots of time to do it when the weather's a little more favorable. I found it to be just, you know, this snow we've been getting has been just great as far as I'm concerned. If you're going to have winter, I always think you might as well have snow. And, you know, it's kind of a dual-purpose thing this year because we really needed the moisture. You know, there's just some real concerns about what water levels on the river and, you know, some of the lakes is going to be this spring. And this snow should probably help. It's certainly not going to turn things around, but it's going to help improve the situation.
We could use another foot, actually, between now and in the next couple weeks. And the forecast says this could repeat itself here in a couple days, so time will tell, but we could use another 6 inches to a foot and without any real complaints.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. And I was glad to see my snowblower still ran. I hadn't used it since New Year's Day when we got back from Selkirk and we had some snow greeting us at the return of that trip. Last time I'd used that thing, and it actually did the job quite nicely. So walleyes. Let's talk a little bit about walleyes. How's that been going for you so far this year?
Well, folks, he set me up for this one. He warned me before we hit the record button for this week's show. I have not caught a walleye over 18 inches since December 30th of 2006. And prior to that, it was our Lake of the Woods trip on, December 10th of 2006. I'm struggling this winter in the walleye front. Number one, when I should be catching walleyes, I'm watching hockey games. And when I'm trying to catch walleyes, I either can't find the magic bite or I'm catching tons and tons of 8-inchers. So I don't know what to say. It's just not been my winter.
Yeah, well, you know, good things come to those who wait. So I have faith you'll turn that around yet. But, I mean, I was pretty much in the same boat. It wasn't that I couldn't find them. But, I mean, I went the whole month, of January and I guess even into February only fishing twice. And both times I was pike fishing. So, you know, had it not been for that trip to Lake of the Woods last week, I would have been in about that same boat as far as the walleyes. I was able to turn it around. You know, Lake of the Woods through the ice generally is pretty good to me over the years, and last week was, you know, certainly no exception. I did find myself coming away from that trip with one of those, I wonder what that was kind of fish, though. I lost a big one. Last Wednesday night we were set up on the southeast corner of Oak Island in about 20 feet of water. Been catching fish pretty steady all day, just, you know, fast enough to keep things interesting. And all of a sudden I see this fish come in on the Vexlar and just absolutely rip that jig. And it was peeling line off the reel. I haven't had a fight like that in quite some time. And there's about 4 feet of ice up there right now. We needed extensions to get through in that particular spot. And it was getting kind of dark. You know, visibility wasn't real good as far as seeing down the hole. And long story short, I couldn't get this fish steered up the hole. And I got just a little glimpse of a flash of something at the bottom of the hole before it came unhooked. And I don't know what it was. You know, I keep telling myself that it was, well, it must have been an eel pout. But it didn't really fight like an eel pout. They usually do this round and round thing as you're pulling them up into the water column. And the other thing about an eel pout is when you hook them, you never lose them. The only way you ever lose an eel pout is if they break the line. And this fish just came unhooked, so it kind of makes me wonder if it was a walleye. Oh my, it was a very big one. You know, either that or, you know, it could have been a northern pike too. I'll never know, but kind of the classic big one that got away tail.
Well, we've said that time and time again. The one that got away always makes for the best story. So I guess that's how it's going to remain from here on out.
Well, yeah, it's left in my imagination. And, you know, it's just neat to have an opportunity to do that at the same time. Not even a harsh word was uttered when that fish came off, if you can believe that. I just kind of shook my head a little bit and rebaited and dropped the jig back down the hole and managed to catch a couple more fish before dark. So all's well that ends well. Not, you know, quite the big fish I'd been hoping for, but there's always next time.
Well, that's what keeps us coming back, and I don't want to get back into that subject tonight because we've covered it a few times. And you know, that's what keeps us all coming back to the game of fishing, is always looking for that big one. You know, another trip I went on while you were gone is I visited a pond again that I was on a few weeks ago, and John and I talked about this last week, but We took Kent Hollins' son, Colby. We may have talked about him on this show before, I don't know, to chase tip-ups. And I get such a kick out of him because he's just like one of the guys. You can treat him as such. He never stops. And one thing I made comment to is, as he's getting older, he's getting tougher to fight with when chasing a tip-up because, you know, you just can't outrun him anymore, number one. And he's just getting a little bit bigger than he used to be. So, you know, just hip-checking him out of the way is getting a little more difficult too. But it is just always so much fun to get out there and race that kid because he's just so full of fire to catch a fish.
And let me guess, you didn't mention anything about the UND Fighting Sioux sweeping his Minnesota Gophers earlier this winter. I'm sure you didn't mention anything about that.
Not one thing about it.
Yeah, and pigs don't fly.
In fact, I said, how could this happen when our team is so bad this year? Actually, they're on a pretty good roll since then, but, you know, it was just something you had to say. And you know, I think that's going to go on well into my 50s and his 30s and so on and so forth. That we are going to rib each other for the rest of our lives on that subject.
Yep. After last year, I saw the way he rubbed it in. And, you know, he might have only been, you know, I guess 12, 13 years old, but he was able to sling it with the best of them. So, you know, glad to see the tables were turned.
No matter what he can say to me about hockey, and sorry, folks, we digress here, but no matter what he has to say to me in the next decade about his Gophers, two words, my friend, Holy Cross.
That'll shut him up every time, you know, say no more.
Okay, back to fishing.
But, you know, you talk about, you know, just going out to a little pond, and you know, that's one of the other things, you know, never overlook those chances, you know, to get out into some of those little places. I mean, here's a place. It's pretty close to home. I know where you fished, and I've actually never fished there myself, and you can get there within probably 20 minutes.
It's going to be a little more added element to difficulty now because it's going to take a snowmobile to get in there after this last little snow spell. Good reliable source told me that, so that's going to cut down on the crowds.
Oh, no question about it. And, of course, you've got a beautiful pink sled sitting in your buddy Jason's garage that's just waiting to be used when the opportunity arises. So that's not going to be an insurmountable problem.
And it might even have transportation tomorrow. We'll wait and see.
Exactly. And I don't know. I guess that about covers it for me for now.
Well, a couple of questions about your trip up north. Did you catch an eel pout this year?
I never caught one myself. There was a newcomer to the group who caught his first ever eel pout. We backstrapped it out, and we had a fine eel pout boil last Monday night.
What an absolutely beautiful fish that is.
Oh, they're a real treat to catch. You know, the days of people, you know, catching them and leaving them to lay on the ice are gone, which is a good thing because not only is it unlawful, it's just a ridiculous thing to do. I mean, they're a native fish. There's nothing, you know, exotic or invasive about them. They fight like heck. And they're darn good eating. So, I mean, that's a pretty good combination in my book. And that pout that night was a real highlight.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you didn't catch one. One of these years I'm going to actually go out and try to catch me an eel pout.
Well, I can think of a place right now where if we were sitting on the ice as we're speaking here right now, we'd probably be slamming them. It's pout time right now, folks. So if you're in eel pout country, get out there and have some fun because when those fish are spawning under the ice, they're very aggressive. You can have yourself a lot of fun. Just don't be scared of slime.
So in typical Y Fish fashion, what do you got coming up the next week or so?
Well, let's see. What do I have coming up next? Hope to do something this weekend. I'm not quite sure what yet. You know, I think there's a trip to Lake Winnipeg looming on the horizon here. Hearing some reports from Stu up at Cats on the Red that some walleyes are starting to be caught through the ice there and some pretty good-sized fish on top of it. And looking beyond that, hopefully a trip to northern Manitoba for some lake trout and some northern pike. And perhaps even you might be joining that one, I understand, if the stars align just right.
I should know within a day or so. Probably by the time this show makes the airwaves, I should have my answer on that. I, like you, don't really know what's next. Would like to hit Devil's Lake here this next weekend, but the weatherman is going to tell me whether I get that one or not. I'm hearing some folks that would like to chase perch, and, you know, I suppose I should give them a shot for a couple hours anyway. But I know there will always be pike there for me, and that's, you know, I enjoy that, and that's quite all right with me if the pike wanna come out and play with me. So I guess stay tuned for what's actually gonna happen for this weekend. The next weekend, I guess I'm gonna stay pretty tight to home and watch some hockey, and then the Lake State get together the next week, which is more of my friends go to Devil's Lake and catch pike, and some LakeStateFishing.com folks are gonna join us, is more what it should be.
That's amazing when you put it into that context. How fast even the month of March is gonna fill up here. You know, these weekends are flying by. It's not gonna be long before we're gonna be talking open water. What I saw in Lake of the Woods last week, you know, leads me to believe it's gonna be a little while yet. We had, you know, 4 feet of ice in some areas, you know, actually needed the extensions to get through in a couple of spots. So lots and lots of ice out there yet.
But the sun means something. And, you know, John and I talked about that last week, is this is the time of year where the sun is cutting through that ice, whether you realize it or not.
Well, the other thing is, you know, this can be some of the best fishing of the year. I look back over the years, and some of those March trips have been just absolutely magical. And the days are getting longer. That's a bonus. You have daylight saving time will be coming up before too long. All of a sudden, you've got that much more time out on the ice. It gets dark a little later in the morning, so that means more time to sleep in. Not that I'm ever up at the crack of dawn anyway, but I like having that extra time on the back end of things.
You know, if you could make money for getting out fishing at the crack of 10, we'd be millionaires.
Oh, absolutely. That was the same case last week. Most days we were out, we had our lines in the water by 11. One day it was 11:30. The very last day, just because we had a little bit of a deadline to keep, we hit her early and we were in the water by 10. But, you know, on a lake like Lake of the Woods, you can do that. I mean, if there's a body of water that keeps bankers' hours, it's Lake of the Woods. You don't need to be out there at the crack of dawn. You don't need to worry about fishing after dark. I mean, you can get by and get out, you know, at those times. And that's one of many things I love about that lake.
You know, we got about a minute left here, and I have to share a story from yesterday. I was I stopped by a fishing chat room, and I was talking about Lockport to a couple of guys that have never been there but would like to go. And they said, so what kind of schedule? So what time do you got to be up? You know, up an hour before sunrise to get a good spot and, you know, fish all day and whatever. And I said, well, let's see. You start fishing at about 6 p.m., that is. Fish till about 4 a.m. Have a few beverages, maybe even a little breakfast. Go to bed at about 6:30. Get up at between 10 or 11. Do the partying that you would normally do on a fishing trip until about 6 p.m., that is. And repeat. And they just could not believe that that's the schedule that it keeps. And I said, it'll keep whatever schedule you want. That's the one we've set for it, and that's how it's going to stay.
It seems to definitely be the pattern. And, you know, I look back on some of those nights. I was there. I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, just in hearing you talking about them, that sounded pretty good. Those trips, I mean, they'll get here before we know it, and you know, I got some ice fishing to do yet, but I'd be lying if I was to say I don't look forward to, you know, one of those kiddies pulling at the end of my line again. But I guess for now, that will wrap up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. We've bantered on here long enough. So until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.